Start your day at Tere Majsa, Yud Zayn, Adar, Tavshin, Pehe, Reb Yasimo.
Better time to discuss some Hilchos Shabbos Shailas, because Parshas Vayakel Moshe, the Yalkut, Mishabura actually brings the Yalkut that says Vayakel Moshe, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, the Yalkut says this week's Parsha, go and make Kehillos, gather in people, and learn Hilchos Shabbos, or Shah Halochos. That's what the Mishabura brings in Siman Reish Sadis, you've got involved. He brings this Mishabura brings the Yalkut, Reish Parshas Vayakel. So I want to tell you that, for a start, there's a good opportunity this Shabbos, we had a very good opportunity to discuss and be mechanach the halachos of Boira, because it was straight after Purim. So we had the children that had Kanayin Ahara, they had their bags, and each of them had a carrier bag full of sugar in different forms, right? So you've got all the cans and all the packets and all the Laffy Taffys, whatever it is, yeah, all the sweets. And it was just one mixture of full of all the different various forms of sugar. And obviously then, Friday night, obviously when things calm down after the Purim and you've received all your shlachmonas, the two of my children were sitting down for real tachlis, right? For the real heavy deals, right? We have deals, but for the children, the deals is how many of the Laffy Taffys you're going to swap for this packet, how many Coke Zeros are you going to swap for one Coke, normal, regular Coke? All the different various deals that go on between children. And here was a great opportunity to discuss, potentially, Issa Doiraisa of Boira. I must tell you, a lot of Shailas get spoken about. Rabbonim have a lot of Shailas. But very rare do they have a Shaila, a clear Doiraisa involved in the Shaila. Over here, to sit there and separate. What children would naturally do is to sit there and separate. Put all the cans in one area, put all the nash all the sweets in one area, the lollies in another area, just to get their bearings about what they have, and all the swizzles in another area. That involves, if they're up to an age which they can understand that, have children already 11, even 9, even they can clearly understand, if you explain to them what's going on, if they have a bag with a mixture, a lot of adults struggle to understand where's the boira involved. But again, if there's a mixture, and in the bag, in the carry bag, that you have a lot of different various foods, that is an issue to select them and separate them. Even if it's good and good, really, it's good and good. It's all good. But if you take good and good and you want to separate all the cans and all the packets and all the sweets, that involves a melocha, pashas, deraisa, bialocha, discussing with the deraisa, the rabbonon, no enough kamina. The fact is that there's a real issue of boira involved to separate all the things that people want. What would be a very good solution, by the way, if you do have a big bag, you're not going to eat it all now. Yes, somach l'suda is halacha that you're allowed to separate, and you're allowed to select somach l'suda, close to the suda. But none of my children were bound to have the entire bag. So what would be a good solution, very interesting solution, which is a Gemara, Rav Bivi. The Gemara in Shabbos Ayin Dalet, actually Rav Moshe Feinstein brings this heter in Chelik Dalet, Simon Ayin Dalet. Very easy to remember. Dalad Ayin Dalad of Ramosha, he quotes a Gemara in Shabbos Ayin Dalad. So it's Shabbos Ayin Dalad, and in Shabbos Ramosha is Dalad Ayin Dalad. And Ramosha Feinstein quotes the Gemara in Shabbos Ayin Dalad that says Rabibi, he had a selection of fruits, and he threw them over an area, and thereby he did an act of scattering. If you do an act of scattering, that doesn't involve a malacha of Boira. Boira is when you select it with your hands. But if he scattered them over an area, and thereby they became scattered and not mixed together, that is a good solution to get around the issue of, that's a good solution to get around the issue of boira. So they could simply take their bag of food, of nash, and they can throw it over the playroom, and that's how they can separate, they can end up having separated their nash without having to be over the issue of boira. Sorry?
Isn't that Zohar?
Oh, so, well, Zohar is actually using the wind. You would have to throw it up. and then using the wind, Zoyra Varuach Mesayata, the Gemara in Bava Kama and Shabbos, it is a similar act, actually, a similar act, where you're using the wind to separate, there you're using the wind to separate the bran from the other parts, so that would be Zoyra. It's quite similar, but the fact is just to go like this, the Gemara in Shabbos seems to say it's okay. I'm just bringing it out to show the Olam that this is a severe malacha, which is something that we always struggle with understanding. Someone just told me that before she goes to shul, she likes to prepare Shabbos morning, she likes to set out the meal. So she wants to know if that's okay. So obviously the big issue that comes to mind is Boira. If she does any selection, she has, let's say she's got six people eating by the Shabbos meal. So she takes six forks and six knives and six spoons and small spoons, and she got it all in one hand. It's all mixed together. Then she goes around the table and she's selecting all the things that she wants from her hand. That is an act of Boira. Right? So all these things, you'd be surprised what comes out. Therefore, well, again, there's a solution to scatter it, or in the first place, make sure it doesn't just do all the forks in one go and then come back for the knives. There's the issue of Boira is negated to every single room in the house, and it's negated to every minute of Shabbos. So Boira is definitely the biggest fear. And Baruch Hashem, we had a very good opportunity on Shabbos to discuss this. That you have children which have got lots of nash inside the bag. Again, it's Negea, you have a Shabbos party. You have a good mother that wants to prepare Shabbos party. Or, well, she wants to have a bit more sleep on Shabbos morning, so she prepares the Shabbos party for Shabbos morning. And she's got a bag full of nash that she bought from the shop. And she goes, takes the bag. Ah, I'll take the pink one for the girl, I'll take the blue one for the boy. She's selecting nash from the big bag of nash for when? For the next morning. Now, it's a very good mother, but at the end of the day, she's been over in the Issa Malacha Pashas Doraisa of Boira, because you're doing a selection from a bag full of Nash, right, for the next morning.
But if she did that Samach Asuda.
If you do it Samach Asuda, that's fine, but Friday night, doing
that's,
something for the next.
A Boira element of Samach Asuda, that's
sure, if you're doing a Samach Asuda, let's say Shabbos party, Shabbos afternoon, straight after the meal, and everyone gets something. So fine, you go to the packet, you go to the big bag of Nash, and you can select. You take the green one, you take this, that's fine. Samach Lasuda is always okay. But if you're not doing it with a keli and all that, that's fine. Over here, you're not doing it with a keli, you're using your hands, there's absolutely no problem. So it's all these things, Boira is always something to be aware of. Oh, that's very, yeah, so that's the whole shaila. Can you take the bones out of the fish? Because there's another condition that you've always got to make sure to take the good from the bad, which you're always doing with the Shabbos party, by the way. But you're right. Even if you're doing it Samach Lasuda, you'd have to make sure it's not done with a keli, and you're taking the good from the bad, and you're doing it straight away. So those are the three rules of Boira. Boira, again, is the biggest fear, because Boira is usually a lot involves the Malacha Daraisa. A lot of other Malachas, in order for someone to be over the Issa of Tzot, yeah, or Daraisa, or other Malachas Daraisa, it's extremely difficult. You have to be a big Talmud Chacham to work out how to be over Tzod Doraisa. It has to be Minin Nitzav, has to be Eine Yochel Lekoyfe B'Shkia Achaz. You have to really work things out to make sure you're over Doraisa. Boira is very, very simple. It's very straightforward. You have a mixture, and you just do a selection, either for not for now, or you take the bad from the good, and that's already, you've already achieved the Malacha Doraisa. Next Shaila that we have, very interesting. Yeah, don't forget that we have the Shaila where someone on Shabbos, they trap their fingers in the door. Don't forget all these oodles and all these other rubbish that come inside the child's goof, right? It makes them a bit hyper, right? So that's also the pshat, why we give the Rebbes a bit of Purim geld. What's pshat? Because the children are going to be acting crazy because of all their nash. So we give the Rebbes a bit of money just to have a bit of a hand for the next couple of weeks just to see it through. But either way, you've got Shabbos afternoon, a child, doors are the biggest hassle in the house. This door should be really illegal in a person's house. The amount of accidents, I'm sure Rabbi Yossi can tell you how many accidents happens from doors in the house. And a child just knocks himself or cuts himself with a knife or something. And you want to go over to your cupboard and take one of these plasters. It's very interesting. Something that you would typically do during the week. Now, you would, like with it, without thinking, subconsciously, you would just take one of these. And you just, number one, you would rip this. You'll detach it. Number two is, you'll take the shields off the inside one. Off the inside, you take out the plaster, and inside it's got the shields. So you'll typically just remove the shields from the plaster, and after you've removed the two shields from the plaster, you'll just wrap it around the finger of the child where he's got bleeding. Oh, taking me time. Okay, Right, so this is the second thing you would do is take off the shields, one shield, another shield. And after you've taken off the two shields, you'll wrap it around the finger of where the affected area is. 3 points to remember on Shavuos is very, very, very tricky. Number one is not to detach one plaster from the roll. Because when you detach one plaster from the roll, you're being over the issa of korea involved, because you're tearing in a constructive way. You don't want to have the rest of the roll with you. You want to just, for headspace, you want to be able to take off and tear one plaster from the roll. Tearing one plaster from the roll is an act of korea. So that's something which is number one to be aware of, to make sure that when you're grabbing the plaster for your child, and you want to place a plaster on your child's affected finger, is just to leave the plaster on the roll and work on opening the plaster packet while the plaster is still on the roll. So that's point number one to remember, not to detach the plaster from the roll, right? So you work on the you have to work on it. This you can tear, it's not much of a problem tearing it, because you're tearing distractively. Obviously trying to avoid the words, but you're tearing in a distractive way.
Okay. It's a child, isn't it?
Sorry?
Child.
Well, not with his bleeding finger. Yeah, I mean, not really. A lot of times on Shabbos, we don't really want to get children involved. Very rarely does the Mishnah Berurah suggest. Very rarely does the Mishnah Berurah suggest that you should use a child. It creates a big zilzal in Shabbos. It's a whole story in itself. Some Shin Mem Gimel to work out. So let's say you grab hold of. You manage. You're successful in taking out the plaster while the plaster's still on the roll. Next thing is what you would typically do during the week: just remove the shield.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? Very interesting. That is being, this is an act of koirea. Koirea
is,
oh, okay, so you have to go with that. But if a lot of poskim would say, including actually Shlomo Zalman Oibach, and Shmuel Shabbos Kilchosoi, he writes this, and the Tzitzel Eliezer writes this, Beri Moshe writes this, and Rebbe Falk writes this, and the Piskei Shmuel brings a whole string of poskim that mention this point, that when you remove this shield, what you're actually doing is detaching something which was stuck on for many months. Don't forget, this is the manufacturer made this hopefully many, many months ago. And when you now, this has now been attached by the manufacturer many months ago, that's really what they've done is an act of toifa. Right, tofa is not necessarily you take two stitching things together. Tofa can also be achieved by lahatzbik neyore zebazesh. Chonoch also says an act of tofa. If you take two papers with glue and you glue it together and stick them together, that's an act of tofa. So this, what the manufacturer did months ago, is an act of tofa. So to remove the shields from the plaster, many, many, many posts can say that that's an act of koirea. You're tearing it. And therefore, Rishon Zalman Oibach and Shmuel Shabbos Kilchosoi, he says, when you have to remove the shields, you should do it with your teeth. Yeah. And then blow it. I like to blow it, works afterwards. You blow it. And then you're left with, you do that with the other shield, two shields. Okay. So this is a second thing which you naturally do straight away on Shabbos without thinking. Very important to make sure that you're removing the shields with your teeth. And that is something which the Be'er Moshe is happy with, and Sisi Lezer have all these tshuvas as far as we speak about. Actually, B'Shem Zalman Oibach just says blank out, you're not really allowed to do that. It doesn't really give the solution to do B'Shinoi. But many posts can give a heter, and Falk was happy to do B'Shinoi, you do it with your teeth, that's also okay. They all say to prepare it before Shabbos. Well, you're not, it's not always so practical, you're not sure how many bleeding fingers you're going to get. Sorry, say again?
We had a discussion in our Tzol about it.
Oh, go on. Oh.
So we don't open the package because it becomes unsterile.
Did you hear this?
No.
So here there's a pod in our Tzol not to open it before Shabbos because you lose the effect. So that's true. That holds true when it comes to things. It's got other things. But if it's just a plaster, you could argue, see, maybe we can. The mice of the poskim are happy to do it with a shinoi. So you'll see, you'll be okay with a shinoi. But to remove the shield without a shinoi, that is very questionable whether it's okay. More than questionable. It sounds like most of the places, maybe Ramosha, have to check up. But the places are suggesting, more than suggesting, to say to remove the shields with your teeth. So number one is not to detach the plaster from the roll.
I just want to establish, you're talking about dafka for a child, for an adult.
Oh, adult, same thing. Adult.
You can use a plaster from an adult, isn't that in your...
Yeah, there's no problem if, let's say, an adult has a bit of a cut and wants to use a plaster. They want to feel bad for themselves. Yes, so they can take a plaster and they can wrap it around the affected area. But I want to share with you a third point, which is very, very interesting. I don't think this is common knowledge at all. And that is, if the affected area, if the bleeding is on the top of a finger, right? So you typically do like this, right? And then, look at this, you're wrapping the plaster over itself. I hope I get this off. Yeah, I'm not gonna do it all the way, yeah? But that's what you typically do. You'd be very tempted during the week to just wrap it around on itself, because this is the most practical way of doing it, after all, on a finger. Especially if it's on the back of a hand or somewhere else. Fine, so it's not going to wrap around itself. But Zok, again, the Tzitzliezer and the Ber Moshe, all the same place can we discuss all these plasters. Or Chashabas mentions this. He also mentioned all these 3 points. He says, don't wrap it over itself. Now, it can get very tricky, especially if it's by... Ah, I can't get this off now. I mean, you might have to help me there. So, okay, right, we'll get it off. So basically, yeah, this, actually, the person say, since it's very typical to just pour it off, especially it gets wet and it just comes off like that, without unraveling it, especially within 24 hours, you're unlikely to do that. Therefore, what you've essentially done is you've wrapped around the plaster of itself, creating a toifa. You've actually joined two parts of material together. Now, where's no toifa involved in there? Why is that not toifa? Toifa means, the Shulchan Aruch says, you take two neyoros, lahadbik zebra zeh, that's toifa, right?
You take a...
Oh, that's actually, Rabbeinu mentioning a maradiskin. Maradiskin discusses this point. Sorry, what happens if you wrap it around the finger, Taka, with the intention that straight after Shabbos you'll unravel it, not just rolling it off the finger, not sliding off the finger, you're unraveling it. Firstly, if someone did that, it's questionable. It's not so clear whether an halacha will look at that, because botla data, since it's so natural to roll it off, could be it won't help. But if a person does that, sorry? You'll take off. No. If it's very typical to remove within 24 hours, then it's fine. The problem is it's going to stay longer than 24 hours a lot of times. If it's going to stay longer than 24 hours, you have a machlokes rishonim about that. So that's already a debate about that. I guess there's mokum to be makel when these sort of things. We're talking about tzav, a person. But, yeah, so the third and final point regarding plaster. You see, something so simple as this. A child gets a cut on a finger, and you naturally go to the cupboard, and you whip out one of these plasters. Within 30 seconds, you've put the plaster on the child's finger, but within 30 seconds, you've actually done 3 malachas on Shabbos. And that was, sorry about that. Number one was to remove the plaster from the roll, number one. Number two is, when you remove the shields, the 2 shields from the plaster, that's malacha of Perea. And number three...
When the manufacturer put their shields on, the whole machshava is to remove them easily. It's not
toifa. Very good, very good. There's a big shaila involved. Is there toifa involved when you join 2 parts of material in a very weak fashion? Now, Moshe Feinstein brings it right from the Mogen Avraham. It's absolutely toifa, even if it's a very, very soft shield. What's this?
Can you use post-it notes on Shabbos?
Well, post-it notes actually got its own Torah. The Moshe, to take it off the actual pile, the original pile, would actually be a problem. Without which you find post can say that you're allowed to use post-it notes, would be okay if it's already been pulled, being torn off. But to actually take it off the path, thank you. If you take it off the path, that is going to be an issue of Tofa Korea again. Again, when you go through Sim Shim Mem, you get the idea, you get tuned in to what is actually Korea. The Shulchan Aruch speaks about this. Tibuk Niyori Zebazeh is an act of Tofa, so we should discuss this. In Shal Kayoma, not Shal Kayoma. You're going to be at least struggling with a Malacha or the Rabbonon with Tofa, which is something we also want to avoid, the Rabbonons. So the third point to remember regarding the plaster is not to over... I think it could be very tricky sometimes when you want to put a plaster on a finger especially. And how are you supposed to arrange that it doesn't wrap around? I guess you have to do it on a slant. Quite hard. You do it on either you get the round ones. So you can go round. It's not so practical. You'd have to wrap it round to avoid wrapping around.
Because you don't want to, actually. Does that not happen?
So now, reminds me mentioning that could you say a svara? How about this svara? Your argument would be, what's the whole hassle about? You don't care the fact that it's wrapped around. You don't care about this point. This point is actually a whole sugya about the Maran. This can bring your eye from the Soy Meshtaleach on Yom Kippur. They did a real knot on the Soy Meshtaleach's horns. And the Maral Diskin says, how can you do that on Yom Kippur? It's a malacha of kosher. And the Maral Diskin brings a raya that you see that since you only wanted it for a little bit of time, just for a few minutes, till the soy gets thrown away, thrown down, so, and after that you don't want it, so that's that brings it down to the Rabbanon. Rav Zalman Oibach brings a right from Lulav, that you find the Gemara says you can't do Eged on Yom Tov, but even though you only want it for 7 days, Rashi says it's still a Malacha. This is big, this is Geshmak HaRei. It's Rai Zahin Ahed, this is the real stuff. But Lemaisa, the Poskim do end up saying that even if you don't really intend it, you don't really want it, still the Poskim are bothered about it, and they say to try and avoid wrapping around the, again, it's only negev by a finger, a lot of times by the hand or anywhere else, you're not going to want to wrap it around. But if it ends up being wrapped around, your tachi don't care.
It's nappy as well.
Exactly, that's where the place can flag up the nappies. You finish rolling up the nappy and you take the two sides and you stick it on it, and they say that that's an act of tefa, which is going to be for long term. That could be the shaila of. Of
opening as well, also.
Oh no, so the opening bit, that, yeah, so it's each. Okay, there's a lot to. Go on.
Is it on the glass, on the dandy, is it self tearing because there's a line there, or if it was just not, you know, like a perforation?
The perforation that you have.
Perforation,
yeah.
Does that make the issa of Korea?
Actually, Korea would apply whether you've got the perforation or not, because at the end of the day, you're doing a tearing part to the parts which are not perforated, which allows the perforation, but that part is also an act of career. The Befalk always used to flag up when it comes to Yom Tov. People think, yeah, you can make a T on Yom Tov. He's right. You're right. He said, you can make a T on Yom Tov, but a lot of times tea bags come in pairs of two, and you'll typically detach one tea bag from the other, and the act of career. If we don't find the head of Korea, you can't suddenly take a pen and paper on Yom Tov and write your list of the menu of covered Yom Tov. You don't have a head of Korea. Korea doesn't apply. Kosev doesn't apply. Kosev applies on Yom Tov, and Korea applies on Yom Tov. So you can't be over there. It's a Korea on Yom Tov. That's where you used to flag up that the tea bags, you can't detach them because Korea is not a heta when it comes to Yom Tov. So again, over here, the same thing.
Shabbos.
Sorry?
You open these before Shabbos and put back on again.
Yeah, definitely. If you open them before Shabbos and put them back on, certainly. But very few people I've seen, maybe it might be a good idea. I don't know how practical it is. Maybe you should unravel all this and then take off all the shields and put them back on. Listen, it's a job. Adarava. Matoiv, actually, from example, Oibach recommends doing that. He says, don't rely on the kula of doing it with your teeth, because that's a bit of a, it's a kula. But over here, we're talking about regular. Yeah, the nappy's got a special heta because it's Velcro. Velcro is a separate colour. Nappies, it depends which nappies you have. You're dragging me into the nappy shadow for the second time, but I must tell you, now we're talking about the nappies, I'll tell you, there is a chiluk between what type of nappies you have. The regular nappies, right, is if it's just Velcro, and the way to test it is you put it on your finger if it falls down. If it's just Velcro, it's okay. You don't have to open it before Shabbos. But if it's besides for the Velcro, you've also got a little bit of sticky. Like the cheaper ones, it's very common to find that, and it'll hold on your finger. Those should be open before Shabbos. That is a massive enough gemina of what way you're using. Okay, we're not going to get dragged into that because it's a whole. It needs a hakdoma. The whole thing needs to be understood properly. Okay, next shayla. Wow, you know something? I'm embarrassed to say what I thought I'm going to get through. So I'll tell you what, I'm just going to end off, just for the fun of it, we're going to end off 4 minutes with two interesting shailas. I think we'll be Yotze Hilchos Shabbos. Again, Chazal say, Mishabruv says that this week's parasha, the Yalkut in this week's parasha says, Vayakul Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, bring in many people and discuss Hilchos Shabbos. That's what the Mishabruv brings about the Yalkut in this week's parasha. So that's what we did till now for Hilchos Shabbos. I want to share with you a shaila. What would you say to this? Imagine I come over to you and I say to you, you know, I found a good property that you can invest your money in.
On Shabbos?
Not on Shabbos.
Oh.
So, again, by saying initial Shabbos greatest, and this is not going to be the answer, you come over and say, here's a property I found, very good property, £100,000. I take 2%, very cheap, £2,000, and here you go. Maybe it's expensive, whatever it is, 2%, £2,000 for the property. Okay, so you're very excited about it. You find out, okay, so then you ask me, have you got the details of the seller? So I give you over the details of the seller. And for some reason, you check him all up. You check up the seller and you see online all the ins and outs, what he's all about. And you see a few statements of it. You see what he's all about. And you see, wow, quite impressive. Okay, so he's a good person to work with. For some reason, this specific sale didn't go through. Unfortunately to me, the £100,000 didn't go through, the sale of this house didn't go through, someone else grabbed it, he kept it, it wasn't a gift. you get hold of this contact that was via me, because I brought along this seller, and you see, hang on a second, this guy is a bit of a performer, this one. You can see his money's by his mouth, and he's acting. He's an actor. He's a performer. So you get hold of his number. It takes a few minutes online. You pay the £3. Don't pay the £3. Well, you work out how to do it online. You get his contact, and you start having a conversation with him, and you realize that, hang on a second, he's got a good few houses in a place that you wanted, and you've got one house in good where you wanted, and you strike a deal with him, and you say, right, okay. In fact, it was a £500,000 property, and you bought him. You're very, very happy about it. Excluding myself completely out of the picture.
Yeah.
What would you say? Again, the Shiloh has come up many times over. Just a few days ago, it came up again. So
you cut him out the middleman.
So you didn't intentionally cut him out. This is how it happened, unfortunately, to me, or the person who gave you the property, unfortunately to him. It didn't work, right? And now that he's left with the information of the person the seller, and he struck up a good conversation with him, and he managed to make a good deal out of a second property, only a month later, 2 months later, would you say that he would have to pay some sort of agent fee, some sort of fee to the first person who gave him that information of that this person? He would never know. How would this person ever know that this seller is a random person who lives in Southampton? I would never know.
You have to go pay forever.
Exactly, and if this deal worked, what happens to the next deal? What would you say? Okay, so your question, you're saying it. Obviously, there's some sort of gavul. Did you know the Sheikh with Halevi?
That's twice, I think.
So all these forests, they come up in Choshen Mishpah. That's the beauty of Choshen Mishpah. Everyone's got what to ask.
At the beginning, that's my concept.
Do you have to? This story was, no one said anything. Well, no one's going to start coming to the property, and if you found this, and if you found this, and if you... So they just want to say, there's the property, and go for it. So the interesting tshuva in Shevet HaLevi, very interesting tshuva. Well, the story was very similar, but it's quite a geschmack, where an agent someone wanted to rent a property, rent a flat in Eretz Yisrael, very common. People are looking for dirus to live in. And the agent, the letting agent, went, approached someone and said, "You know, you want to rent a flat? I've got a flat in Neuf Eliyahu, $100,000 a month. How much are they now? I don't know how much they are. And yet, anyway, he looks at the flat. He's very happy. It's a 5 beds with a view, with echo, with everything geschmack, with the side. Everything you dreamt for. He really liked that flat so much that he was in touch with the Baldiva, and he said, by the way, you think of selling it, by the way. I know we're going to go into a contract of renting, but I'm in a position to buy this flat. So he says, I want a decent money for this. $2 million, I don't know how much they go for. $2 million. $2 million? Okay, we'll think about it. 2.2, all right, they strike a deal, $2.2 million. He ends up buying the property. Now, this letting agent feels a bit... let down over here, yeah, because man, the fun let down over here, because he's only going to get a month's rent, right, which is, I don't know, not much. And really, what happened in front of his eyes is that this renter, potential renter, is now going to bought this house, this flat, and cut him out of the big chunk of agent fee that he could have got if he was to shatchen this as a buying thing.
That's different. His job was as a tivuk for a
tzavah, yeah.
not for sale.
Very sure. This is very, you should know this, the beauty of Choshen Mishpah. Everyone has a swara to add. That's exactly why it's very important, because that's why you have three people, three dayanim, because the Choshen Mishpah, there's so many different swara you will never dream of. And he adds this, that's the beauty over here. Says the Shevet HaLevi, he thinks, the reason why you have to pay an agent fee is because he's acting as your shaliach. He's acting as your messenger. And here, you sent him to find a flat to rent. Right? And the fact that you end up striking a deal to buy, he's not your shliach for that. Is indirectly, he gave you a big benefit that now you're able to find the flat. And you cut out this whole massive agent fee of, I don't know, £20,000 or whatever it is, that you could have got. That he wasn't your shliach to find a flat to buy. So he was your shliach. The chiv of Sirsur is because he is your shliach, and he was your shliach to find it to something to rent, not to buy. That's the swara of the Shevet HaLevi. Obviously, he ends up saying you should try and negotiate, maybe give him a little bit of money. Everyone has that feeling at the end. But the strict halacha, he didn't think.
Rent and sell.
Sorry?
If you rent and sell, if the agent rents.
Yeah,
and sell,
so if, well, yeah. It's.
If
he came to him initially to say that I'm looking for something to rent, so that is, you made the mashliach to rent, even if he buys things, but mostly you made the mashliach to rent, it could well be argued and said the same thing over here. Where a person, this child over here originally, he approaches you with the property and the property, the sale doesn't go through. But you've got access now to the information. And you go with the information and you start buying a property or something else. It could be equated, you could equate the two cases. I see Rabbi Sumchan mentioning there is a chiluk. Don't forget there's many chilukim. Firstly, in the case of the renter, at least he got some money. Yeah, over here, he's not even got any money. So there's many chilukim in the two, like everything in Chosh Mishpat, that I think as a starter, you have this Shevet Halevi, beautiful tshuva, he goes through the whole inyan of the Sirsu, and he says he wants to say that there shouldn't be a chiv to pay the agent fee. Let me just gather our thoughts about what we discussed over here. Back to our plasters, we discussed, well, first we discussed the Shaila of Boira, when you have children that got a bag, a carrier bag full of their nash, and they want to select it. We said that on Shabbos that could be an act of selection, therefore it's worth making a note to children about it, for adults about it. One of the solutions is to throw it and scatter it, that could be a heta. Then we discussed the plaster shiloh. We mentioned 3 points: not to detach the plaster from the roll. Number two is to remove the shields with your teeth. And number three is not to wrap it around the finger, not to wrap it on itself, because that could be an act of taifa. And finally, we discussed the shiloh, this interesting shiloh about the agent fee. Again, you could equate the shiloh to the Shevet Halevi's case that he wouldn't be entitled to the money. Obviously, people can stipulate what they like. Mr. Hashem, I can see it. There's so many Geshmak Hashayas and the Shabbos. We'll have to be Mamshech another time. Let's go.
Oh, man.